to do mic checks, and I was going to say I saw two movies I've never seen before this week.
What movies?
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
And Three Ninjas.
Oh! Rocky loves Emily. Rocky loves Emily. Rocky
loves and aren't Emily. You so happy now that you know what that means? Look, you're laughing. She's part of the universe.
I get
part of the
it
conversation.
Now.
You're welcome.
You know what? I'm gonna leave that part in. I'm just gonna join now. How about this? Welcome to Rewind, Replay, Record. That's an introduction there. So we're starting right now, guys. How about we start there? Ava, you just heard Ava talking about two movies she's never seen before. The Amazing Spider-Man and Three Ninjas, a beloved classic of a movie. I guess probably doesn't hold up, but holds up in the nostalgic, oh my God, this is horrible way. Or
like it wasn't bad, though. I could have turned it off at any minute, and Edwin was like, are you sure you want to keep watching this? I'm like, yeah. Like,
he gave you
like, I forgot that there was so much ninja stuff in the beginning, because all I remember was the house stuff that reminded me of Home Alone. So I'm like, oh, let's get to that point. I think she will enjoy that a little bit better.
Yeah, that's like the middle part of the whole movie, and then it turns into like the FBI against this ninja society. Because that's what the FBI does. God, that's
pretty funny.
I kind of want to ask Evelyn, who is your favorite Three Ninja?
Yeah, what's
in a count of three?
One. You asked me that.
Why is it?
And you laughed at my answer.
Three.
I said Colt.
Colt? God.
No.
Let me guess. Colt's your favorite. Yeah. And let me guess. Your favorite's Leonardo.
Well, I mean, I don't know why he's just the first Ninja name Turtle. That I remember. And then he quizzed me on the names. And let me see if I still got this right. Rocky and Tum Tum are the other
ones. Yeah. Tum Tum. Yeah. Because he ate gumballs. He was that 90s fat kid that wasn't really fat, but he just got a little husky until,
the Theodore of the group.
Yeah, he's the Theodore. The Theodore of the group. That was just like, man, that kid is fat. And it's like, actually, no, I kind of wish I was his size. little pudgy, that's all. Shops at Sears.
The boys watched it, and I'm surprised they didn't like attach to it. I was afraid I was going to get fucking ninjas for the next like week or two, but they watched it and they're like, okay, like it was entertaining to sit and watch, but it didn't stick. So
maybe it's because our generation is dumb enough to copy that stuff. And their generation is like, it's a movie.
I told you about Donovan.
Well, I don't think
that's true. Yeah.
With the olives in the back.
Oh, how
the war paint and the warrior. I'm a warrior with olive blood. I told you guys that, right?
No. I saw the picture. His hand was filled with olive juice.
So he does his during school, he does Zoom meetings for like 45 minutes, and they're doing a project with scissors, and he decided, I want to do my own haircut. So he kind of just etched himself like this off to the side and used scissors to fucking cut hair, which then I had to shave him. Like down to like a bick, like, I mean like a zero on his head. And then later that day he was drawing, he was doing drawings on the wall with olives, and then he smashed a bunch up and he smeared it like his fingers down one side, and he was a warrior. And he was running around the backyard with a stick saying warrior and olive juice blood. Or olive blood or something like that, and screaming and running around. So
he said, I am warriors.
Did he have three Coke cans going, come out and play?
Nope. No, he just had a stick.
That's the next movie you should watch. Look, Daniel, show the kids, and I'll show Aveline, the Warriors.
The Warriors. This is getting too.
That'll be really good.
And you gotta get back to Brooklyn.
It's a set in New York. Your family's from New York, Aveline, so you'll like it. Stop yawning when I'm talking to you.
She's laughing.
Already bored. Already bored.
So that's what I dealt with.
I lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, your forehead's itchy. So you also saw The Amazing Spider-Man. That's the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
Correct.
I think I saw half of that, if I remember correctly. I didn't see part two.
Yeah, I remember not liking it the first time and watching it the second time.
Oh, Brutus.
You need to go. Still not really liking it.
Yeah, no, the only scene I remember liking from that movie was he was Dale Nobby's on camera still. He was when he's in the library, the Stan Lee cameo, when Stan Lee is in listening to music and in the background, mm-hmm. Spider-Man and Lizard are fighting, and it's just Spider-Man just throwing a bunch of books at Lizard and just jumping around.
Yeah.
Like that was the only real that scene stuck out of my mind because it was just like, oh yeah, this is like a comic book kind of such like this is I kind of like this. But everything else about that movie, I remember,
right?
He was just too angst ridden, I guess you could say. Like,
well,
I don't need this. I'm gonna go skateboard.
How did you like it, Evelyn? Before I
mean, it's not my favorite. I especially now, like maybe if I would have seen it when it came out, but the fact that I've seen like Spider-Verse, you know, like nothing will compare to that.
It's the fact I've seen Spider-Verse, Spider-Man, but Spider-Man 2. Right.
I think the best Spider-Man, part of the animated whole movie series. Is the part where the.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, Miles Morales is probably the best one.
It's so different now.
Yeah. When the guys, the like he saved a man's son in the middle, and then that man was like working the cranes and moved all the cranes for him to go across at the end. I think that was probably the best part of the whole entire movie.
It's actually an actor. Who is that guy? It's one of those actors that are just like, he seems like he's a much bigger actor to be in this little bit part. Who was it? I forget. Let me look it up. I'm looking it up.
The guy from Notting Hill. That's the only thing I remember.
No, that's that's Doc Connors.
But it was what were you just saying? Sorry.
The guy that he saved.
Dude that was running the crane.
Yeah, the guy who was running the crane is some.
Oh,
you know, it's C. Thomas Howell. He is one of the outsiders. E.T. He was in E.T. He was in The Hitcher. It doesn't matter. No. Anyway, sorry. Never mind. Then it's just.
I thought it was pretty good because, you know, going from Spider-Man 3 to that, I mean, it was a damn good step up.
I was gonna say it's not as bad as Spider-Man 3. That's for darn sure.
Still to this day, I don't remember that movie, and I saw it in movie theaters, and I don't recall anything. So,
like, I turned off Spider-Man 3. I didn't turn off this one because I'm like, oh, like, let me see where this is going.
I totally understand when people like gone through like major traumas, and they're like, I don't remember it. I understand. Because I went through that with Spider-Man 3.
Is that why people give me a weird look when I ask? Never mind, I'm not going to finish that. Anyway, so...
are you going to introduce us? We haven't gone to the introductions.
All they know is you are Eva.
Oh, yeah. So Edwin's here. Hey, Edwin.
Hey.
And Daniel's here. Hey, or sorry, Dan. Hey, Dan, how are you?
No, I'm Daniel. It says Daniel, my thingy.
So. Oh, okay. I know there's a weird period where you just want to be called Dan. And of course. No,
it's still there. They call me Dan.
Oh, okay.
At work. Dan the man.
Okay. Yeah, Dan.
They call me Dan the man. Yeah.
Okay.
That's true, too.
You say they. We don't know who that is. And also, Ava is here along
with Ava called me Dan the man.
Okay. All right, well, that's one person then.
I'm gonna call you Daniel. I feel weird about the Dan the Man thing. I feel like I have to be a coworker to call you Dan the Man.
That is a very coworker thing.
Coworker or Ava, yes. So
okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, she kind of she's kind of a coworker. If we work this show,
I mean, we do work the show.
Yeah. So I mean,
you guys can call me.
Yeah.
Don't call me late for dinner. Anyway, so we No. Yeah, so we're here. We're back. We're coming back together and stuff. We did a little diatribe about the Amazing Spider-Man and Three Ninjas and everything. But the real reason why we're here is to talk about the series finale of a little show called WandaVision that we've been talking about ad nauseum. We've been talking about for the past several weeks. This Friday, Disney Plus, if you were able to watch it at midnight, good luck to you, because it shut down the service again. The last month, I guess the show is so popular that it's basically shut down Disney Plus servers because the amount of people that go and watch it at midnight. That's how popular the show is that so many people try to watch it and it just blows up a huge corporation's servers. But yeah, so last we saw Wanda, she was in the street yelling at Agatha, being as Agatha was calling her, the Scarlet Witch. Agatha had her Tommy and Billy wrapped around the neck like dogs. And the episode pretty much opens with that. Just not even given a little leeway or anything. It's just straight to the action where we want it. Agatha is at this point demanding Wanda's powers now for her own. Why don't we just jump into it, guys? What do we think of the series finale of WandaVision?
Well, it didn't end like Toy Story 3, so that's cool. I mean, it was a good episode for me.
Jesus, Dale.
What? I was scared.
I was scared. I was scared the entire time you were watching it. You were like, oh, geez.
I was like,
I hope they don't pull something.
I was thoroughly enjoyed that it started where it left off and it didn't go to what's her name?
The Black chick. 1776.
Monica. Yeah, it didn't like, you know, do a good however many minutes of Monica shit. And then I really enjoyed that they went straight to the point and then they just went into it. And then Monica came in and was like, you know, answered those questions. I liked it. It was really good.
I think a friend of mine, I think best summed it up as Matt Mosley, shouting out. He told me one time, you know, it's a bad movie or TV show or episode when they start out like France, 1672 or something like that at the beginning, which has nothing to do with it. The reason he got that was because of G.I. Joe, the movie, where it was just like, why are we starting out in France in 1770? God, this movie's going to suck. And he was right. But yeah, so I don't know. So yeah, I'm glad that it started off with a bang instead of like, you know, some prophecy back in the 1700s of a bunch. Yeah.
The beginning, I could not stop laughing because of what you said last week, Brian, where you're like, with the kids with their neck, why don't they just walk backward?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Because even the kids run forward and get dragged back. It's like dummies rock behind her.
You know what, though? Having kids, I feel that would be a thing that would be happening. He's like, true. What are you doing? And they're like, I'm trying to get away, but it's hurting so much. I gotta fight harder like a dog. And it's just like, no, don't just think, but they don't think. They do, but it just doesn't go well.
Well, I mean, to their credit, there's this like, you know, woman that's like floating above them and like, well, has a leash.
Yes.
That is around.
You're always defending children constantly.
All I know is that I'm a 38 year young man, and I'll be acting the same way. Like I'll be running forward like an idiot.
No,
witch is help me! And even she's like, stab you. Not that you know of. And I've pissed off a lot of Tinder dates, so I'm just saying that they're running. You know, I'll be the same way. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, so Agatha's there, Wanda shooting powers at her, finding out that like, oh, you're gonna every time you shoot me with power, I take your power, it's my sort of thing. And Wanda looks at her hand that's looks completely dead, kind of like Mitch McConnell's hand that one time. And she hits her with a car, which I thought was really cool, and a little like Wizard of Oz scene where you see a kind of or a little throwback there where it shows after Agatha got hit with a car, you see her just her shoe, her boots there. And this is when we see White Vision, and she's kind of shocked and is like, you know, Vision, oh my God, you know, and kind of a, it looks like a touching reunion. And then he like, you know, touches her face like he's remembering her, and then he touches her other face and starts crushing her skull. And then that's when we see Wanda's made up Vision come and tackle him, and we get a pretty cool Vision on Vision fight with that, which I really enjoyed. Actually, I think this may have been my favorite part of the show too, where you see Vision fighting Vision and they're like morphing into each other, and it's, you know, become a tangent again, so then he's holding them, and then it ends in that that, you know, a discussion of minds and such, you know, just kind of a very Vision way,
which is probably one of the best parts.
Yeah,
for me, I really enjoyed that.
I love that where he's just like, well, I'm not really Vision, I must require elaboration. And then it's like, well, you know the story of this naturally. And then it's just them just kind of
circling each other. It's like two fan nerds going at it.
Yes.
Two fan nerds or two really, really smart people.
Two academics. Like
two academics going in a heated argument. And us normies are like, what the fuck are they even talking about? And it's just like throwing out theorems and you're like Googling it. You're like, what the hell did he say? It's a ship now? I'm looking for ships? And
Are you talking about the Mark Twain at Disneyland?
I have a question.
And they both look at you like an idiot and you're like, sorry.
Wow.
You guys talking about that Titanic boat? No? Okay, I'll wait. I'm sorry. Like, the one I loved the fight, the fist fighting was awesome because of the, that was awesome.
Phasing in and out. Yeah.
The one I was just like, okay, it's silly. I would have imagined these two intellects are like fist fighting, right? Bam, bam, bam. And then like, we're going to do fucking forehead lasers. I would imagine they would have figured out after like the third time, all right, I guess I can't hit this guy with the laser, because all it was zoop, zoop, zoop. And they're just dodging the laser. It's like, all right, stop it, you guys. It's not working. Just go back to fist fighting.
I mean, the CGI effect was used, so why not use it again?
Yeah, that's
true. But it was a riddle. But in the end, it was all solved by a riddle.
Yeah.
It was, yes.
I thought he was going to try to teach a robot to love and then him just self-destruct. And then, and that scene, basically... Vision is back. The MCU Vision is back. He basically gets all his powers back, or his memories back and everything. And then he shouts, I am Vision, and then flies away.
Like, what a, like, father of the year, everybody. Just like, nope, I'm leaving out of here.
Well, no, technically, he doesn't know he has kids. Those weren't even his kids.
Yeah.
He just got his memory back, bro.
No, but the last thing he remembered was his mind stone dying.
Yeah.
Then everything else,
I can't give him the memory of the kids.
No, that's not why that not. Didn't
why
happen
would
to
you
him?
Wouldn't because give him the memory of the kids?
Because that's pushing his kids onto him. Hey, take care of these.
Yeah,
they're not real.
Hey, bro, I gotta go get some milk. I'll be right back. Just hang out with
these you. Watch guys. These kids, right? You got these, right? You got them.
The oven. Oh shit.
Hey, oh, so shit. I gotta go. You're cool, right? All right, I'm out of here.
You got this? Cool.
Like, you got this, right?
Like, I don't want to pay antimony right now. I just came to be. You got this.
No, but like, but that's the MCU's Vision. That's not the Vision that Wanda created. And so all those memories and stuff, he doesn't know what happened, or he doesn't know
love you
how that happened. Love you,
love
too.
Me too.
And
love
you too, bro. Love you guys. I just felt so much love came out right now.
Hey, this is a show that has so much love to give, and we'll get to that at the end and everything.
Sierra is going to bed, you jerks.
So the Vision fight and everything was great. Now, White Vision is now out in the world finding himself, I guess. I don't know. That was a because it was a weird thing where he's just like, I am Vision, and he runs away. And it's not like... Okay, and I don't know if they'll get in. I mean, obviously, they're going to get into it. It's Marvel. It's not like we'll never see, you know, Vision again. But because in the comics, and I'm actually reading this run of when the White Vision appears, basically, you know, originally the way Vision was made in the comics is that Ultron took the body of Toro, the Human Torch from the 1930s, and put the brainwaves of Wonder Man, which is another character who died, into this robot and then made Vision. And so Vision in the comics was a construct of this old Invaders character that fought alongside the Submariner and Captain America. And then the world came together to destroy the Vision, because at one point the Vision got his hands on all the nuclear codes, and everyone kind of, you know, was like, that's not good. So the governments of the world got together to lay a trap for the Avengers to steal Vision and then basically rip them apart and put them together again. And out came White Vision, who has all the memories of Vision, but is an emotionless robot because he doesn't have the brain waves of Wonder Man anymore. So he's just a regular robot, essentially, not just walking around emotionless and everything. So I don't know if they'll probably get into that more and everything. Because yeah, your first thought is, why didn't he just go try to find Wanda if he has all these memories back and everything? Mm-hmm. Instead, he was just like, I got an out. Whew! Ran away. But while that's going on,
because he had the memory, not the emotion.
No, that's true. Yeah, the memory, that could be it. Yeah,
that's two different. Yeah, like, I mean, he has the memory. It's like, now he's like, oh, I remember all this shit. I just got, you know, fucking told all this information. But, you know, it's like, I would imagine it's like us watching a documentary about World War II. We see the video and we're like, oh, wow, that's crazy. But it's going to be different for like someone who lived through the war to see it again and be like, oh, I remember the smells, I remember the feelings, I remember the fear and stuff like that. Maybe that's the how it worked for I Am Vision flying away.
That's very nuanced, Daniel.
Yeah, very good. But I feel like he had a moment of feeling. He realized he was a weapon and kind of felt like, wait, I'm being used.
Right.
I'm being used as a weapon. That's a feeling. That's right. A response. So that's why he's like, I feel maybe betrayed. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Maybe he needs to find himself.
Yeah. On a Vision quest. Disney Plus 2023 Vision Quest. You heard it here, folks. All the fan theories. God damn it. What happened? My microphone. If you can hear me,
we can hear you.
I didn't hear anything because my headphones were off. But
we heard everything. About
Vision Quest.
Ah, shit. Okay, so yeah, no, that's, you heard it here, folks. Vision Quest coming to from 2023. I heard from my sources. All other, it's the same sources that talked about Mephisto and Doctor Strange and Magneto and everyone else. Anyway. So, speaking of that, we kind of joked about it last week that Paul Bettany said that the secret cameo guest is somebody he always wanted to work with for his entire career, and it turns out he was joking and talking about himself. He was in an interview talking about that, and somebody asked him, like, so the character, were you just talking about yourself? And he replied with, yeah, and I immediately regretted it. Did you ever say something that sounded really funny in your head, but then when you said it out loud, you immediately regretted it? Because you start reading all these fan theories, go like, oh man, it might be Benedict Cumberbatch or Patrick Stewart or Magneto or something. And I'm thinking, oh my God, those are amazing ideas. They're going to be really angry.
So how come Elizabeth Olsen's not getting any shit? She said the same thing.
Well, okay, so I looked into that. So I looked into it. She said that there was a Luke Skywalker like cameo coming up. What happened was this, because I was wondering that myself, because I remember her saying that. That was, she was interviewed after four episodes were out. She was talking about Evan Peters. And the internet kind of took that and then said, oh, no, the Luke Skywalker cameo is not him. It's somebody else. So people, just because the way the internet works nowadays, especially news sites, because a lot of this stuff wasn't coming from like the Hollywood Reporter or Deadline. It was like comicbook.com or Screen Rant or something. Stuff that's not, that's just kind of, I heard from a story of a story of a story of a story.
Moviepoopshoot.com.
yes, exactly. Moviepoopshoot.com.
So that's where we get our sources.
Yeah. And also like Instagram stories, you know, from people that just will throw anything against the wall. So if anything has, so if you throw out all these fan theories, some might stick, some might not. Like people were theorizing Quicksilver, you know, Evan Peters Quicksilver to make appearance. And it did happen, kind of. Even though I kind of find that funny that his ultimate name was Ralph Boner. And it just seems like he was set up to tell a boner joke.
I will say that's probably like the biggest disappointment, because I would have been fine if we've never seen Quicksilver after the fourth episode or the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
I'd never seen him again, because even the fact that they brought him back in the Stinger and then made me think, okay, maybe he's going to do something important or in the end it led to nothing. To me, I'm like, okay, then just don't show anything, because it didn't really, even within the story, forget what the internet has said. Did nothing.
Agatha give him Speed Force powers?
Yeah.
That necklace
or whatever he was wearing was controlling, and she gave him all whatever she
the powers
needed.
That she can't. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because that was my thing, too. Because right before that, he does his little, you know, speed thing and then flicks her and she flies across the room. And then right after that, it's, you know, you're Ralph Boner. And he's like, yeah, Boner. And then Monica does a kung fu move, rips his necklace off, and that's the last of Ralph.
The scene I feel like was so unnecessary and pretty much the worst part of the episode. I didn't like it.
Because it led to nothing.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. Not even like a stinger or something of Agatha going back home to Ralph and they're married or something.
Did you guys want like a more detailed explanation
and take minutes away
from what we saw?
Nope.
Exactly.
I wanted it out.
Let's be happy with it.
Let's
be happy with what we got and never talk about it again.
Like I said, I was happy with just when Wanda shoots it during the Halloween episode, shoots them, boom, that's it, done.
I agree.
But they had to get Monica away somehow.
Then have her be by herself, and then she has the necklace and she takes it off with her powers and leaves.
She has her feet caught in a 2-minute scene. No, she gets her foot caught in a hose. And like half the episode's her trying to untangle a hose and her going,
she's
God
in the back,
damn
she's
it.
In the background. Agatha and Wanda are like
fighting and she's on the
you
lawn
see
just
in
like,
the corner. She's just like fighting this hose.
Yeah, she's fighting. She's like, just like, I can't untangle this. Ah!
Well,
it turned on. Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. They needed a reason to get rid of Monica, but just like how they didn't explain where Darcy was for the longest time, they could have just not explained.
We knew that she was in a truck. She was coming, you know, eventually, until traffic got better. But then you just see her, you know, hit Hayward's car, and then say the magic line of "Welcome to jail," and then you never see her again.
I'm fine with that. That didn't bother me.
Yeah.
It was kind of surprising how small of a role she had and how small of a role Monica had in the last episode, especially Monica. I thought she was going to have like more scenes, more action, more stuff happening.
Her story will continue
exactly how it was, because I mean, this was, you know, that they can add to that later. This wasn't Wanda and Vision
and Monica,
I agree with Edwin. Darcy. Then. She should have just been like had Agatha put a little trance on her and she been locked away the whole episode of Monica.
Yeah,
and then
at the end,
she'd come out. Yeah. And then when she, you know, that could have been better, because you're right. All the scenes with Wanda and Vision were the best parts of the episode.
But then we'd be sitting here going, well, what happened to Quicksilver? Is he going to come back? Are we going to see him again?
I mean, we kind of got that explanation with Agatha on the lawn showing him, you know, at the door and stuff. So, I mean, we could probably naturally assume like, she got rid of him or something. It was somebody I just got out of thin air, which could have led to more like speculation and whatnot. But like also, what was I going to say? I forget. With Monica and everything, obviously that's going to be, you're going to see more of Monica and her story continue in Captain Marvel 2. So that'll be kind of explained a little bit more, I guess, where she's going and who he is.
Nick Fury. More,
no, it's Thank John you. Krasinski, Fantastic Four. Just come on.
Stop it.
We need this.
Stop it.
No,
let it go, dude. Let it go.
Whatever. The internet's right. So swear to God, let Fucking it go. Dude. We're gonna start this whole thing. No.
I like how you were like 5 minutes ago, you were like, oh, the internet and their bullshit thing. And then you just said internet's right.
Yeah, because it's a joke, Daniel. It's called a joke. Whatever. Callback.
I'm sorry to make it funnier because I thought you were being serious.
Son of a bitch. and guess who's getting cut this whole episode?
Oh man.
You never learn. No.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
Don't mess anyway. With the editor.
Stay up till 3 a.m.
I really liked when Wanda did her old school mind control thing to Agatha at one point. That was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice little callback. Mm-hmm. And also just, and I was just going to get to this with the Wanda and Agatha fight. Basically, like, you know, we found out just how dark the townspeople of Westview have been really held hostage. Yeah. Agatha's at the top and she does a little thing, and then they're like, and we have Dottie coming up going like, hey, Wanda, do you want my little girl to be like, you know, friends with your, you know, what role do you want her to be in? Maybe a bully, maybe anything. Just let her out of her room. You've locked her in her room this entire time. Please let her out. Like, I just want to hold her. And then like everyone starts, and Wanda yells at Agatha, like, why are you doing this? Why are you making her say this? And Agatha's like, I'm just unreleasing them from your control. Like, these are their thoughts now and everything. And then you found out the whole town is basically coming to her in like a trance of like, you know, you got the best friend coming or going like, you know, I don't even remember my name. I don't remember anything. Who am I? What do you want me to be? And then you have people telling them like, my husband's away. Let me call him to tell him I love him and never to come home again. When they
sleep,
their nightmares, when they're allowed
her nightmares, to sleep,
they get her nightmares.
That was very interesting.
And it just shows how, you know, dark and fucked, I'll discuss this. I'll bring it up now. This all ends with so we see how fucked she's made this whole town lived in.
They're like either let us go or kill us.
One of the others, kill us or let us go, just please pick. And at the very end, after a very emotional send-off and everything, Wanda puts her hood on, starts walking the streets of Westview, and everyone's giving her the dirty look of like, what the fuck are you doing here still? And Monica is just like, they'll never know the sacrifice you had to make. And Wanda's just like, yeah, anyway, sorry. Whoosh, and flies away.
And she says sorry to Monica, not even to
to the townspeople.
Because we don't know. I'm sorry. We don't know these people. That's what Monica's there for, to say. Basically, Scarlet Witch saying sorry to Monica is basically saying sorry to what she's done. She says it. I'm sorry. I don't know this power. I'm going to learn it. I'm not saying that what she's done is justified, but come on. Like, you're really going to think like, oh, the police officer is going to put this god in jail?
She's lost everything.
What can you possibly take from her now?
No, I'm not saying take anything away from her.
Shut up, Brian. You don't know anything.
No, I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to be heard. Okay, you just got edited now. You're not going to be heard at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's two people down. Two people.
Welcome to the boat.
Daniel, what's going on?
I'm the captain.
What happened? I don't know who I am.
I am the captain now. Look at me. Look at me. I am the captain.
I don't know who I am anymore. What's happened?
Don't worry.
I was just talking, having a friendly conversation.
Edwin, it's elaborating on what you said. I just feel like, you know, okay, maybe she shouldn't have like apologized to them or something, but it was just weird the way she just walked out and bounced, like walking by them as if kind of like nothing happened. I found that so weird. Like, okay, maybe she's not going to like turn and like do a big speech to all of them. Yeah, that would have been weird, but I feel like she owed
people
them something.
People of Westview.
It was weird.
It was just it was a weird kind of just, and I get why. I mean, again, I understand why she said it to Monica, because then the audience is like, yeah, no, she is sorry. See, but like, now if I'm one of those townspeople, I'm like, what government agency do I sue into oblivion right now? But
I mean, maybe they were just trying to sword? Show like she's created enemies now. Maybe they were trying to show that.
But she, even from the very beginning, she was feared by the public.
Correct.
I mean, the second thing from the second thing that has caused the first being blowing up the Wakandan consulate in Captain America: Civil War. I mean, there's
And people were like, "Ooh, she's a scary lady. Let's keep her away." And that's why they kept her in. That's why Tony kept her at Avenger Towers, because no one wanted, like, she even field outcasted and everything.
I mean, she's basically Hulk.
And now she learned. Yeah, exactly. And now she learned from that.
Like, and she's accepted it.
And I need to be away. I've lost everything. I'm going to go away.
Which reminds me that
at the same time, I'm going to learn my
last
powers.
Movie. I don't actually look it
kill
up.
Kill everybody.
I got to learn to do this better to keep mouths quiet. That last shot of the very post end credits where the camera is going through the, you know, the lake and into the cabin and everything, that reminded me a lot of the end of The Incredible Hulk when Ed Norton was running in the field. And then I had to actually look up The Incredible Hulk to see, like, wait, is that the same cabin? Is that the same area? Because it very much reminded me of that. And we see, you know,
it's shot the same way.
Yeah, it's shot the same way too. And it's her, you know, like sipping tea and then getting up, going to get more tea. Mm-hmm. And then the camera continues and it's her in the astral plane doing something, reading the Book of the Damned. And then hearing Billy and Tommy asking, "Mom, help us, help us." And we'll see what happens. And Doctor Strange and the multiverse of madness.
When was that? Was that at the very end?
Did you not see a post credit scene, Dale?
I saw
there's
the
two.
There's two.
All right, I'll be right back.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm gonna go watch it. You guys
We'll talk amongst ourselves.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the first stinger. Wait, did you watch the first stinger?
Yes, he did. He did. He mentioned it. Yeah, he talked about it. But
I was gonna say earlier. I like.
I doubt there's two more episodes and no stinger. Oh god. Poor bastard. I wonder if he knows there's an Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Tell him, like, wait, did you wait after all the credits, the foreign credits?
Yeah.
Because there's a third stinger.
It's in Portuguese, but
send him a fake stinger. Yeah. Right
no,
now.
No, 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 no.
Sorry, Ava, you were saying.
No, I was just gonna say I liked the moment where you see Vision, Wanda, and the kids, and they do that pose kind of like Incredibles. I liked that tiny little moment of the family.
I like the family dynamic. I like the family dynamic. I liked her just going, handle the soldiers. And
I like when he took all the guns and put the hat and the glasses an homage to the actual Quicksilver that we were hoping would come.
I love that little touch.
This is why the Pietro thing is so, that one thing doesn't ruin the show.
Yeah.
So disappointing. Because why do all of this and not try to reference it? Either don't do it at all. Like with the kids doing it, I'm fine with. But just like the ending of just like, oh, my name is Ralph Boner, that led to nothing.
Yeah.
I just didn't need any of it. I'm not saying it needed to be better. I'm just saying, just take it out.
You know, the thing is, I like it when shows do that. I like that gag in Iron Man 3 when you found out the Mandarin is just some British failed TV actor. I liked how they did it there. I liked, you know,
that worked.
Give me Quicksilver. It's just, it was done and it looks like a haphazard way of like, how do we do this? It's a boner joke. You boner.
It's just like, wow, like, wow, I don't like, I'm just so surprised by it. Maybe, yeah. Maybe the youngins liked it. And if so, okay.
That, yeah, that's all. Works. Yeah. All there's TikTok boners all over the place. That's it's crazy. But yeah, no. So another thing, and I'm not going to wait till Daniel gets back, but Hayward in this episode turned really into mustache twirling villain. And then it started making me think, what was his purpose? What exactly. was his end game? What was his ultimate idea? Like, it just seemed like all of a sudden it's like, well, we don't know how to do it. Let's just make him into that one line with Jimmy Woo. And he's just like, you don't have any vision.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a weird line to give that character. Cause I can understand like giving him a arc where it's just like, listen, the last 5 years have been fucked. We, you know, it's been crazy. We want something here to protect us just in case another Thanos level threat is here. But it just turns into mustache.
Yeah, it was.
Where it was just like, what the hell is that? And then it made me think, like, wait, what was his whole purpose then? What was his end game? Like, it was just.
And that was also a lead up too. Like, oh, maybe there is something more to him. And I kind of agree with you. They should have played with that whole, you don't know what it's been the last 5 years. And him sticking to that gun to doing something terrible. But in the end, like, no, I'm going to shoot kids because I'm really a bad guy.
I'm a cartoon villain.
Yeah, the kid thing. Yeah, when he comes in and tries to shoot the kids, I didn't get. But, I mean, his explanation to Jimmy Woo kind of made sense. Like, oh, I want white Vision to kill Vision. And then, you know, everybody will be so happy. They'll let me take this Vision back. Like, he wanted the ultimate weapon.
I want all the glory. And it just doesn't, is too super villainy. Okay. So, Daniel, you're back. Did you watch both post-credit scenes?
I don't understand, Brian. You were over here earlier, and we talked about the first post-credit. Not in a fucking moment in your mind, you didn't think, oh, and that second one, huh? Or, like, bringing up something? Well, and then I would have watched it then.
I want something to talk about on the podcast. But did you watch the one? Did you watch the one after that?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, Stephen Strange is able to do that.
Oh, Daniel.
He's able
He is, but only when he's but he's like knocked out. Wanda's able to actually maintain it and kind of.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I was just about to say that's the mere fact that she is able to do that is pretty crazy.
Right.
Agreed.
But then again, if I remember correctly, it was really good. Did she not take all of Agatha's powers with her?
She did, and the book, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, just the. So if she took her powers, I wonder if she took like,
I don't know if she took everything. I think she just put her on her spell.
That's another thing.
Memories, like being able to do, you know, cause you know, Agatha brought up the book willy nilly, but you know, I would imagine, you know,
but she showed it to her in her basement too. She saw it in the basement. It's not like, she knew where to go,
but to get it though. Like it took Stephen Strange a long time to get to the, you know,
well, that's what makes her powerful, like dangerous, because she doesn't understand it. She can just go like willy nilly.
Dangerous,
like,
people don't drink tea. She seems nice.
Oh, Daniel.
Her fake children cried for help.
Yeah.
What about when Thanos is drinking tea at the beginning of Endgame?
Yeah, he's drinking tea.
He's dangerous.
But at that moment, he's not.
But if you think
I learned the error of my ways, it's time for me to drink tea now.
Yeah.
I'm
retired now.
With my weird hand. So I just realized, Wanda still is fucking with that town because what ends up with Agatha, she doesn't banish her. What she does is I am making you what you wanted to be all along, the nosy neighbor. And, you know, forces her to become Agnes, the nosy neighbor in her sitcom that she's been playing the entire time. And then she basically states, and the town will not bother you. They will know who you are. Da, da, da. She's still fucking with that town. Cause she still has that. That's another thing. Like, yeah. That's weird. I just realized that.
Like, huh. I felt like when
I don't get that at all.
Well, no, but you know, she has.
Like when...
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go. I'm out.
I was going to say, I kind of wanted her to mess with the town, but in a good way. When she was walking out with the hood on and everybody's just staring at her, and again, we're like expecting her to do something. She doesn't apologize or anything. I kind of wish she would have like fixed their town because it was all like run down.
That is a fucked up town. But I mean,
if she could have at least like made the town nice again and pretty the way it was 5 years before, and then leave.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You have to remember that town ran down because half the fucking population was gone. So.
But it's a town that's so run down where they literally have houses stolen. They just have plots of land where the foundation is. Not even in big... that's the one thing I just remember was that, like, here's, like, she's in a cul-de-sac, and there's literally a house missing, just the foundation there, and that's her house, essentially.
But it
was so cheap
that AI/alien can afford.
Yeah, everyone was like, that's the big thing, is that, like, a lot of people were asking, like, how did Vision afford that? He has no money, and it's like, I'm pretty sure he got a pretty good deal, because all he did was buy cement. Like,
he can plug into the internet. He made Bitcoin. Like, oh wait, now you're rich. Oh, finance maybe, is so funny.
Maybe
he found all the Bitcoin.
He can hack in. All the time. Yeah. Happens in real life.
Tony left him money because he was, you know, his.
I left you pizza money. He saved up all his pizza money. And, exactly. He's like, I'm gonna buy my house. I don't want pizza. I don't even eat. So the end fight with Agatha I thought was really fun too, where basically she's distracting Agatha by hitting her every now and then, and then throwing a spell.
You guys were talking about Hayworth.
Oh yeah, I just brought up the fact of that in this episode he just turned into a cartoon villain, and just it was like, also what was his ultimate end game, and so
I didn't need.
It wasn't an explanation or anything. It was just he became a cartoon villain all of a sudden.
My only, like, the whole episode, the only thing that kind of was like hokey was when Vision made White Vision scream, "I am Vision," and fly away. And then he comes to the family, and all of a sudden the kids are like, I don't know, martial arts experts. And they're like, "You were born to fight," or "You were born to do this." I'm like, all right, no. I don't need the kids to fucking Three Stooge the fucking military and grab their hat and glasses.
It was an incredible moment.
I was also thinking of Quicksilver from the X-Men when he did that. Didn't he do that in the fucking?
And stuff like that. But I mean, which is clever. The thing is,
I don't need
those kids are literally gonna know what to do because they are from Wanda's mind.
I guess.
So I mean that I can buy, but okay. Blow me off. What I'm saying was that with Hayward and everything, especially with the Jimmy Woo conversation, where he's just like, "Come on, Jimmy, you don't have any vision." It's like he's never acted that way, and now all of a sudden he's just like, you know, and then I'll tie her to the train tracks. Like, it's just.
And he's like, "Oh, I can't get her. I'm going to blast these kids. Pop, yeah, pop, pop."
Well, yeah, didn't work. Well, I don't know what else to do. Time to shoot children.
Well, it's time to go now.
I've tried everything. I guess I'll shoot these kids.
Like, so, you would think he would send White Vision too.
Yeah.
I know White Vision left, but you would think something else, like, instead of just fuck it.
He tries calling Vision, and he gets the voice answering machine, and it's a song from World's Greatest Superhero. No, not even that. Just the World's Greatest Superhero song. The "Believe It or Not, I'm Flying on Air." And he's just like, "God damn it!"
I'd have accepted the George Costanza one.
Yeah, the George Costanza version. "Believe It or Not, George isn't at home. Where could he be?" But yeah,
but the thing is, he shoots these kids. Monica, you know, fucking absorbs and everything, and he's just like, "All right, Plan B. I'm gonna drive out of here. Surely I hope he stops."
That didn't work. Time to cheese it.
Like, the worst.
It just reminds me.
He's such a joke.
He's like, "Well, got it." gotta go. And he's like in the car. Where are you gonna go, dude? Like the fucking shit's closed on you. Where are you possibly gonna drive?
Like
to?
I don't,
the next street.
I don't know if this is like a character thing, but the show is written so well that I feel like when it comes to a few characters in the end, it's like, you know what?
Yeah,
he just runs away. Like, it makes no sense.
At least he didn't like poochie his way out of here. Well, I gotta go now. And then like his body just kind of floats away. And then it says, on his way back home, he died.
like, you see the cell just
you know exactly. It was so weird. And it, I just think I mean, yeah, it was just like you said, Daniel, just shoot a kid. Well, that, what now?
That and then Darcy hitting him with a like ice cream truck, essentially hitting a military vehicle, which can take a pounding, and he's just like, now that's the end of this one. I guess I'll just
I'm stuck here. I'm just gonna. I want to go back and watch that those scenes again, and just to see if you see Haywood just looking out the window, kind of just like watching the entire time. Like, am I? I guess I'll wait here. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like it was a weird cut too. It didn't seem like he just got hit. It was like a random cut of just him giving in,
but we find out like that the ice cream truck is a military truck too. So physically,
oh, that is true. Yeah, so, that is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
very good. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no. So you know, he's probably in the truck looking up in the sky as Wanda's throwing, you know, ruins, basically one ups Agnes, and then becomes the Scarlet Witch. I really like that scene too, where she finally just unleashes her true power. I am not what I am. I am the Scarlet Witch. Embraces her inner Scarlet Witch, traps her inside her own ruin so Agatha can't cast spells and everything, and we get her badass costume now.
Yeah, that thing is awesome.
Yeah, that is a really good costume.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, so we got that, and then basically traps Agnes, like we said, or Agatha, and I am turning that off. We
I have mine on silent, just saying, because we have a podcast going.
Yeah. You're right, Daniel. Thank you for teaching me, jackass. Shit.
Okay, so, now it's on silent.
No, God damn it! So Agatha is now part of Westview. Now she is now a view as basically Scarlet Witch. Put her under a spell to now make her believe that she is a part of Westview as Agnes, the nosy neighbor, okie dokie artichokey. And then we get the heart of the episode in the series, actually, which Wanda realizes that in order to free these people, she has to say goodbye to her family, the vision that she created, and her two children. And honestly, I do think this was handled very well. It was very touching. It was learning to, you know, okay, she's actually able to say goodbye this time to people instead of just suddenly have them killed and everything. And she's able to express that
under her terms.
Under her terms and everything.
Like when she explained, like when Vision asks, like, what am I? And then like that part where he says, like, first I was a voice without a body. Mm-hmm. I forget all of what he said, but all that was
I was a body
so
without
and
bone,
then,
and then
yeah, you know. And then when yeah, he well, said sheer, I was like, oh man, this is
even
really though good.
Even a synthesoid could cry. and then the whole like, well, we've already said goodbye three times. Who knows? We can say hello again. Really great lines. This show really has a lot of memorable one-liners that are very. That really hit to the heart and just cut, you know, just cut right through it and just, oh, wow, that's great. And then they hold hands until the hex comes in and they are gone. And that's when we get what we talked about earlier with her going to town, going basically Gilly from SNL, sorry, and then just walks away, flies away.
Bye.
This time around, though, I think it wasn't so hard on her this time, and it was a lot easier to do this because, well, before when she made Vision before and everything, she didn't understand until she realized, you know, after Agatha showed her, like, oh, well, let's walk through the thing, and oh, look, this is how you did it, this, that, the other. now she's got like more power than before, and she's like totally just like let loose. So, you know, she's probably like, okay, I'm going to say goodbye, or this isn't goodbye now, or at the moment it's a, I see you later, because she's obviously going to work, you know, go through that book and see if she can bring them back into reality and not have to deal with a Hex style Westview world, you know?
Yeah, so
even though the kids, I mean, she's not going to tell the kids you're not real and you're going to be disappearing in like the next 2 minutes. Don't cry, because I got to talk to Pops, you know, or telling Vision. Vision's like,
oh, the dad, God, you know, isn't really real. It's this other guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's now an emotionalist robot. And the robot's like, those ain't my kids.
Yeah.
Maury, that ain't my kid.
Mine, all right. Go to bed. You ain't mine.
Look, I'm just boning your mom. I don't give a shit about you.
And I'm boning your mom, and I'm drinking your juice boxes. What of it? So,
and I don't even drink juice. I can't even drink it. I'm just fucking with you.
I'm gonna fuck up your games. But like, and then when, you know, Vision's like, you know, obviously he doesn't know what's going on, and he's like, well, he does in a way. And he's like, oh, you know, that I think it's just with her, it's more of you could see she's not sad. It's just I have new power, and I think I can bring this back. I can bring you guys into light and be able to do it in a better way than fucking over a bunch of town people that she didn't give a shit about anyways. But then again, I mean, if you think about it, she grew up in some third world country that was bombed all the time and shit. So like, you know, all these, you know, that upper town is still an middle class, you know, Americans are like, oh, I had a nightmare. She's like, motherfuckers, I lived that for like fucking my whole life. So get out of here. Stop crying about it. I'm going to fly now.
It's got a point.
Yeah.
Preach.
You had bread. I had mustard. So overall on the show, that ends the show. She leaves. Daniel just saw. By the way, dude, you didn't know there were two episodes left. Now you know. God, you live every day like you're living the life of a puppy. Every day is a brand new day.
However many years ago when I stopped watching trailers and stuff, anything I see on like any social media that has anything to do with like, I just don't get into it. I don't want to read it. I don't want.
Yeah.
So like,
I am, you know what? I'm honestly jealous. That's all I'm going to say.
I was worried about the two episodes. The last episode kind of concerned me. And then this one came in and I said, all right, this is good. Like, you know, the fact that Agatha brought up how she's more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme. That's awesome, because that ties in Doctor Strange. Like Brian even said earlier today, he's not Sorcerer Supreme yet. He's just a sorcerer right now. Yeah. He's not the Sorcerer Supreme.
There is no Sorcerer Supreme.
Exactly. So that's a thing that is, you know, going to come in. And, you know, then the tie-in with Monica and who I think, and Edwin too, and I'm sure Ava think, they're talking about Nick Fury, but Brian doesn't think that, and I don't know why.
I like chaos.
Okay.
Burn that's chaos her. Chaos magic.
Burn him. I am the Scarlet Bitch.
But I wonder if it's going to be like, there was the two Wandas. There's drinking tea Wanda on a Sunday, and then there's the Scarlet Witch that was like, I gotta read this fucking book and I gotta learn this shit. And then she hears like these kids, like, you know, fake Billy crying for help or something, and she's like, oh, mm-hmm. shit, I'm going to do something. I wonder if that's going to be a huge play, like a bipolar deal in the next Doctor Strange.
I think all the things that she was doing was going into each multiverse. And that's why she heard searching for her kids. And one multiverse has her kids being in trouble. So she's going to go and help.
No, I don't think so. I think you're wrong with that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Good try, though. Okay. Good try.
Thanks.
You're still allowed on the boat. Don't worry.
What boat?
Oh, I guess I'm back on my own boat. Brian kicked us off.
Yeah, I kicked you off the podcast, and you guys are on a boat.
Oh, the boat. Oh, yeah.
You're not on the boat anymore. No.
Yeah, you're
throw me. Now you're on your own boat. Nope. Sorry, you're on your own boat.
A buoy? You mean a...
Here's the fucking door from Titanic.
What?
Stay on it.
Give me something. Something.
No.
The float.
Sorry. We waited for you. You said, oh, I forgot. I forgot something in my car. I'll be back. Nope. Didn't happen.
Or maybe I just didn't leave the boat. Decided to play music for the rest of them.
Aw. Please don't talk about that.
God, this is... My heart will go on. So we have our own. I like how there's this own little drama in the middle of it of Dale and Edwin's boat. I hope will they make up before the end of the episode, which is probably 10 minutes. We don't know.
All right, Edwin, you can get on the boat. It's fine.
Oh, yeah,
huzzar! Yay!
I see the flare.
Daniel, welcome me back. Swim, swim, swim.
There's sharks everywhere now.
I have a cut. So this is the end of the series. We'll next see Wanda in Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness, which I keep forgetting is directed by Sam Raimi, and that makes me more and more excited. Like, just like, oh my God, yes. And Danny Elfman's going to be composing it too. They announced that as well.
Great.
So I am really super excited for that. And then we'll see Monica in Captain Marvel 2, and Jimmy Woo hopefully gets his own Disney Plus show where he's X-File. He's doing his own X-Files. Overall, since it's the same, overall, what did you guys think of the series overall? Do you think, you know, we talked a lot about how we like this episode not, but overall, what did you think about this series and what do you think about it in the bigger MCU landscape? Does it hold up with other things? Does it hold down? What are your thoughts?
I feel it is a far better, it goes great with the movies. Mm-hmm. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was crap. Agents of shit, that's for sure. the Daredevil, the first season was great. Second season was good too. Actually, Daredevil was really good. Then the other ones were shit too.
Jessica Jones is good.
Yeah, okay. So I feel though that this is it.
Glad I kicked you out.
No shit. I can say whatever I want now because I'm gonna edit the whole fucking time. It's gonna be just a blank, or you're gonna just play music while I talk.
I'm gonna replace you with the Peanut Parents soundtrack. So it's gonna be like wah 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 wah. They're gonna be like, "Who the hell is that? Is that Daniel again?"
But the thing with this, they had. I mean, it was a. It's gonna tie in ultimately because you have two characters, you know, from the movies compared to just a series that's in the universe. I guess you could say. So I think they did it really well, and how I wanted a season two, like a few, you know, when we were talking about it, I don't know, about, I think 4 or 5 episodes ago, I was like, ooh, season two would be really cool. I don't want a season two. They need to keep it just this and that's it.
Season two is going to be Vision Quest.
Oh, fuck. That's right. Vision Quest.
Call me Disney Plus. I got ideas. They're all shit.
But,
he owns a diner.
Vision Quest. Kind of like what's the other Sequest with Jonathan Brandis? Ooh, yeah. Can we bring him back?
Buddy.
Sure, why not?
I got some bad news for you about Jonathan Brandis. I'll tell you off air.
Is he dead?
Yeah, he killed himself. Yes, he suicide. Kind of a sad story.
Like,
but Darwin the dolphin still lives. You can see him in SeaWorld, Land of Florida. Okay, saying his catchphrase, hello.
So Darwin Dolphin and Vision going on Quest and some
and it will, buddy cop comedy.
It'll be a main quest, but then they'll run into people and have to do side quests that lead to nowhere.
Yeah, it's like the Incredible Hulk show where basically they go to town and beat up a bunch of bikers and help a single mom or something. Mission quest 2023.
He's got a giant tank. He's dragging it. Dolphins
in there. Every time he's...
It's a bathtub.
Just a bathtub of a dolphin. Where are you taking me now? You're so demanding.
Please take me back.
Yeah. Please take me back.
Can you please elaborate?
Yeah. Elaborate. I'm a dolphin.
Animal rights groups constantly chasing him, following him around. Please.
That's the villain of the show is the fans of Blackfish, the documentary about. You're stealing this dolphin. He belongs in the ocean. He is my friend.
No. It's PETA again. Jesus.
He's my friend. He wants to be with me. And Darwin's like, please kill me now.
I've been in this bathtub for days.
Either let me go or kill me.
Let me go.
God, if I had a Photoshop, I would put like white vision cross and back to back.
I will find it.
I mean, we gotta find it. Anyway, Vision Quest 2023 coming to Disney Plus. But anyway, so guys, Edwin, Ava, what did you think of overall of the series?
I liked it. I mean, yeah. Overall, I enjoyed it.
Go ahead, Edwin. I enjoyed it the same. I mean, again, these are like Wanda and Vision are characters that we really didn't get to know within the Marvel universe. So it was kind of nice to see them, like, you know, together and kind of get to know them a little better. Yeah. And like what Daniel said, it tied in perfectly with Endgame. I still like episode 4 where you see, Monica kind of like coming back. It did like a good job of what was going on during, you know, between Endgame and Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
Even though it's a little disappointing that none of our theories kind of came true, it was still fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. So I haven't really got engaged into a show like this in a very, very long time. So it was very enjoyable. Love talking about it.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Every episode was really good. So yeah.
I really thoroughly enjoyed the series as a whole too. I think it is a good starting off point for the MCU in the TV landscape. It did exactly what it was supposed to do, which was take characters that you normally don't see and flesh them out. I think it also talked really good. It talked really good. About grief and about how people react to grief and how, you know, especially during this time, I think especially how nostalgia, you know, running into nostalgia can possibly, I mean, it's not like a ground three, you know, breaking, you know, end all be all to that, but it does skirt that issue of like how nostalgia might not be, you know, can be a great thing to remember and everything, but not to run into and stuff. You have to face your, you know, the face reality at a certain point and everything. And I do kind of wish they, you know, steered into that a little bit more, but also I like how weird it was. I like how it was the Marvel universe actually doing something different until the very end. The very end episode is very MCU-y, but the beginning and everything, it was different than what came before where it was.
And I will say, just when it comes to us like theorizing what could happen, Disney, you know, Marvel should realize that you can really do anything and the audience will be on board. Yeah. You can cross over anybody. You can go crazy, you know, storylines and people will buy it as long as the story is good.
No, exactly. It's one of those things where I remember the talk, you know, when, you know, it seemed like everything, like, will people accept Thor? Will people accept Guardians of the Galaxy? Will people accept... And people have to just let Marvel do its thing. I hope that Marvel realizes, oh, we can't. Well, I think they do realize. That's why they did the show, you know. Mm-hmm.
I think now, I hope people will kind of go, okay, you know what? Yeah, let's see where they go with it instead of just judge. Why would they do that? Just let them do it. And if they falter,
but
they falter, but they can literally do anything and people will still be there to watch it and
continue. But just like their movies, but just like their movies and their show, if you just ground your story in the beginning with a genre that people know,
yeah,
people will, you know, get into it, and then toward the end, do your own Marvel thing afterwards.
They'll accept it. They'll accept it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, with Guardians with the, you know, that's why the music was such an important part of that movie, was because people could gravitate and realize, you know, if you watch that movie again, something weird comes on screen, you'll hear a David Bowie song. You'll hear something that grounds it and kind of like, you know, oh no, this is, you know, oh, okay, I kind of dig this and go on with it and everything. But yeah, so I think, exactly.
I think they did where I don't know other, I mean, it reminds me of like reading comics, right? So you get like,
yeah,
you had the three Iron Mans, you had the three Captain Americas, you had the three Thors. Those are like the main, you know, main comics. They just continue. And then when you have events, there's always offshoots. There's always going to be like, oh, follow, you know, this, you know, separate little cartoon or comic strip or comic books to understand what's going on, like, behind the scene of this. There's always like a bubble that says, oh, read Amazing Spider-Man 593 through 595 to understand what they're saying. Or
yeah, like somebody's like, I wonder what Thor is doing now. And then there'll be a little like asterisk and in the bubble it says to find out Thor in Infinity War, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. Like, pick up this.
Well, which is what I realized what the stingers are towards the end of every Marvel movie. I forgot that comics are the same thing. They always end it with a random character. Hey, you know, to find out, read this.
And that's what I'm wondering, like, if they'll do. Go ahead, Daniel.
I feel as though this was a perfect offshoot comic strip, like, you know, one-off comic series of, hey, you know, between Endgame and
Far From Home or Doctor Strange.
Far From Home or Doctor Strange. Because if you never watch WandaVision and you go into those, then you're going to see Wanda as Scarlet Witch. And I'm sure they're going to have some quick little snippet of, you know, a 2-minute.
How was Westview?
Yeah, something to tie in the story. But it's going to be maybe I'll watch WandaVision and see, oh, there's that story. Okay, I understand now. Like, it was really good. And on top of that, it was a great way to show that you don't need a movie to give a backstory to one of the characters. Like, not all the characters
need. It just
fleshes
it out more,
yeah. And not all the characters are going to need a one-off movie. You can have a TV series do it for you. Like, Black Widow could have been, seeing WandaVision, obviously we haven't seen Black Widow yet, but, you know, that could have very well been a TV series as well. One-off series of, like, you know, espionage and shit like that.
So I always think back to Infinity Gauntlet when they released the comic series Infinity Gauntlet. Just like you said, there's always one shots of, like, when it was Civil War, there was Spider-Man Civil War, because you knew that tied into the Civil War comic and everything. What I'm wondering, if they'll do a big event movie and then on Disney Plus have side stories of stuff happening during that event to tie it in. Like, for example, Infinity Gauntlet, Thanos punches Thor into a million pieces. Like, he turns him into glass and punches him a million of pieces. And then there's a separate storyline during that time, people trying to find Thor's pieces and put them together again. Like, are we going to see that lower? In Infinity Gauntlet, we see him punch, and then on Disney Plus, we'll see, oh, how did they put them back together again kind of situation? Like, kind of extend, make an event a bigger event type situation.
I wonder if if this series was kind of a tester for something like that. Because, you know, it's going to be it's difficult doing a TV series and then having the movie, because, yeah, in a movie, you only have 2.5 hours to tell the story. And you can't freaking, you know, spend more time on something. Whereas a TV series, like, WandaVision, you can dedicate an entire episode to the backstory of Wanda and how she got her powers. Now we totally understand how she got her powers, other than, you know, going back to Captain America, and it's, oh, they were, you know, were they mutants? They were test subjects. Okay, well, yeah. Now they're something different, you know? And mm-hmm. Answer questions that we had back then are now answered, and they did it in a nice TV series instead of waiting for a movie.
And we'll see more of that coming up with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is premiering in 2 weeks. And then after that, Loki is premiering in June. And
yeah, I mean, it's
Miss Marvel will also be premiering in the fall, and she'll tie into Captain Marvel as well.
And it seems like everything is revolving around Endgame.
Like it's the fallout. I mean, because
the fall, exactly. Yeah,
it's the fallout of Endgame and how, and
how I think affected. I like that. I like how there's like consequences to what they did. Yeah. These heroes brought everybody back, but in reality, they just kind of made it really more fucked up and sloppy. And normally I wouldn't like that, but for me, I love it. I like that. Hey, I'm a hero. I'm bringing everyone back. But now we have 12 other worlds.
Yeah, now we have like
a bunch. And now the world's screwed. Yeah.
And not only that, you fucked up other realities.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you fucked up timelines and stuff. And I think this phase is going to be the fallout of their actions, messing with their timelines and everything. And you're seeing that when, you know, they announced that Kang the Conqueror is going to be a villain in Ant-Man 4. And you're going to see that, I think, and with Multiverse of Madness and stuff like that with Doctor Strange. And I think it's the fallout, which is, your actions have consequences.
I love that.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Don't be a hero in the end. Don't be a hero. Just let it be.
Okay.
Be like Spider-Man.
You're going to make things worse. Vision says that in Age of Ultron. What does he say, Aveline? Like that... that ever since Iron Man became Iron Man, more problems came to be.
That was kind of a thing. That was kind of a thing in the Ultimate Comics. Marvel back in the late 90s, early 2000s did an Ultimate line where it was a brand new universe and it was all the Marvel characters in our timeline type situation. Like, what if they were real and stuff, and they were extreme and to the max? And that was one of the things where it was like, why are all these superheroes and villains popping up now? Like, what, why is that? Like, all of a sudden you have an Iron Man and now you have all these villains, and it is that cosmic balance of if you have one thing, the other is going to be thrown in and everything and all that. And you find out that mutants were actually created by man back in the 30s or something. It was a weird lineup, but great Spider-Man comics.
Well, like Thor said back in the first Avengers, messing with the stone is showing that you're a higher form, you're ready for a higher form of war, and that's what you're going to bring down on these people. And it just slowly, I guess it rapidly escalated from there, but it's amazing because you watch these movies, Batman Returns was really good. And then it goes to like Batman Forever, and then Batman and something Robin. Or other. And then Batman. Robin. Yeah. And yeah. And it just got shittier and shittier. And you're like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, they have so much to work with, but here they seem to be able to, they're like pulling it off like crazy.
Well, because you have a group of people that are finally, who grew up with those comics and are like, you know what, let's not, they're treating the audience not like they're dumb. Cause that was the thing that like, we can't make this weird or no one will watch it. And they're kind of proving that it's like, if you make a good story, people will watch. You can make it as weird as you want. People will continue to watch it. Even with the two first episodes of WandaVision, people were complaining like, this is just too weird, but I'll be back. You know, they're gonna, cause there's something there, and they left little breadcrumbs and stuff. So yeah, I think this is a win. I'm looking forward to all the other Disney Plus shows that are coming out and everything. So yeah, is there anything else anybody wants to say besides Daniel? I'm kidding. Is there anything else, any other final wrap-ups, words, what you want to see future or anything from this? Any other final thoughts?
No.
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 No. No, I'm good, man.
Oh, thank God. So we we come to the end of the episode. Next episode, we've talked about this before, and we'll talk off air about it. I'm not going to say anything just in case it doesn't happen, but I don't know if we'll do the same thing we did with WandaVision with Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Why not?
Well, I mean, we can, but I don't know if it's going to, because the thing is with WandaVision, there was a lot to talk about and discuss. And I don't know if that's going to be with Falcon Winter Soldier does look fun, and I am looking forward to it and stuff, but it seems more action packed. And some of the things, I don't know if they'll We'll have to see. We'll have to watch and everything. Because with WandaVision, there was that mystery of like, what's going on? Whereas with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it looks like, oh, Zemo's at it again. Let's go. Like, there isn't a big.
Everyone's going to love Zemo after that season. Edwin's going
to
be like,
yeah, we'll get to it. Yeah. Because I'm still not a fan, but maybe.
Edwin's going to be like, wow, Zemo is the villain that I've been always wanting.
I hope so. I
know so.
Is he the Marvel's Joker? We'll see. probably not.
The good one, not the, what's his name?
Leto, not Jared Leto Joker.
Yeah, not the Jared Leto Joker. Yeah,
nobody likes Jared Leto Joker.
Hey, is that one, whatchamacallit, what's his name's?
Zack Snyder.
Yeah, Zack Snyder, Justice League. Is that out or is that going out?
It's coming out sometime this month.
Okay. Are we going to do
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm just making sure.
No. But, if you want to watch it, you can. Because last time you said, hey, talk about this because I want to know more about it so I can learn more about it. And we talked about it. And then when we asked, hey, did you listen to the episode? Nah, you know I don't watch that shit. I don't listen to that shit. So we literally talked about something we didn't want to talk about in the first place because you asked us to talk about it.
Well, technically, we kind of went off track and ended up creating a whole new like Godzilla versus King Kong
face off
story
movie
because we
got so didn't have much to talk about it. But my point is Daniel going, hey, can you talk about this? I want to listen to it. Cool. And we talk about it and we hate it. And then him going, I didn't talk about it. I don't listen to that.
But
shit.
Bro, I'm back.
That doesn't matter. Anyway, so
use your stairs.
Oh, that's fun because we saw Jilly go from one screen to another screen.
Use your stairs. I'm not picking you up. Use your damn stairs.
Jilly, use her stairs. Find out next time on a brand new episode. So definitely check us out on Instagram at Rewind.
God damn it.
Record where send us messages and all that and follow us.
Damn stairs.
Hey, shout out to Salamander's mom for getting the vaccine shot. I wanted to say that last episode, but you.
Oh, Sal's. Yeah. Sal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep, that's great. If you guys can get your vaccines, get them. Who cares what they are? And just get them. If you have the opportunity to it, do it. I want to go back to normal soon. Just get them, okay? And then buy all the Microsoft products if you want. It's fine. Make that joke like everyone's doing. Just do it, okay? But get the vaccine. And stay safe out there, everyone. Mask up, all that jazz. Other than that, is there any other final words or anything? Edwin, do you have a song or anything you can think of? Or are we going to talk about it afterwards? Yeah, I figured.
I was going to... Well, you can use what that song you just said about... What was it? You and your brother were singing... You guys were singing a song.
What were we singing, Dale? Here's the theme song. Oh, yes. We'll leave it with that, with Believe It or Not. It's the hit song from America's Greatest Hero. I think the TV show is called playing now. We'll end it with that. Maybe the George Costanza version. We don't know. I'll figure it out when I'm editing at 2 a.m. But yeah, so thank you for listening. Remember, be bad.
Get out of here.
Watch shit and get out of here.
You could do the Sequest one and then at the end have a robot voice.
Please either let me
go or kill me.
Let me go or kill me. Be bad or watch it.
Wesley.
Believe it or not.